understand the reading of God's word. Today we read Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish in the sea, and over the birds in the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God his blessing to the reading of his word he makes. Today I'm going to be speaking about the Trinity. We find the Trinity in a term used by theologians to teach us what the Bible reveals about God, that God is yet three persons who have the same essence of deity. Some people have tried to explain this deity, this Trinity, by human illustrations such as H2O being water, ice, and steam, all different forms of water, H2O, but all are H2O. Another illustration is about an egg having a shell, an egg yolk, and an egg white. You may have heard others. God the Father is fully, completely God. God the Son, Jesus, is fully, completely God. And God the Holy Spirit is fully, completely God. Yet there is only one God. In our world, with our limited human experience, it's tough to understand the Trinity. But from the beginning, we see that this was God's way in Scripture. If you notice when I read the Scripture this morning, the plural pronouns such as us and our said, "Then God let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So not a complete list, I'd like to offer a few more scriptures that demonstrate that our God is a triune God. The first one comes from Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." 1 Corinthians, we find, "I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. There is no God but one." And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending in a dove and coming upon him, and behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, from Matthew 3:16-17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We find in Scripture, Matthew 28:19, where it tells us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus truly teaches us this when he said in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father," he repeats in John 14:9. He says, "He who beholds me beholds the one who sent me," again in the 12th chapter of John. And he goes on to say, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. We also see in Matthew 1:20 that Joseph, son of David, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived is in her is of the Holy Spirit." And the angel answered and said to her, "Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, "I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you and with you. If anyone loves me," the Bible says, "he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." And notice the pronoun, "and we will come to him and make our abode with him." We find this in John, the 14th chapter. So you see, the doctrine of the Trinity may be difficult to explain, but it is not difficult to experience. But yet, when we think about this great doctrine, it's a truth. It's a biblical teaching. But how does it affect you where you live and your life and your experience with Christ? We want to think about the us and we for a moment. Words from our scripture today reveal the totality of the God in the past, the present, and the future. There is no beginning and there is no end. In in practical terms, the all-knowing, all-powerful God, who is present everywhere at once, has created this great universe. And we as the people, the pinnacle of his creation, really must come to understand how small we are, and then try to understand the immense universe created by God. If you think about it, the smallest of all created things can only be seen with a powerful microscope. And then also to understand the vastness and the incomprehensible spaces of the universe only by a telescope. For you see, God's created evidence is also seen in the beautiful colors painted across all of nature. And since the beginning, man has tried to recreate those colors in art and even in media. But even with the most talented artists, the most modern inventions, man-made colors fall short of God's amazing technicolor. You see, the God of the entire universe is power and might and all-knowing. He is in the past, he is present, and he is in the future, all at the same time. Our God, while larger than we can even imagine, we can understand his tenderness in the look of a mother toward her new infant. That protective nature, that mother. In this way, we can know him, and he knows us as well. And at the same time, this tender side of God is magnified when compared to his strong presence in the world that we know today. For you see, our God has never been defeated, nor will he ever be defeated. There is no power between the gates of hell that shall ever prevail against him. You see, God the Father, we need him. We need his God the Father, and he has shown us all throughout nature and everything that he is, and he's real. There is no way that we can comprehend how this magnificent universe has been made or created. It is impossible for us to even comprehend the greatness and the magnitude of a God who yet loves us so dearly, reaches down into that vast, comprehensive universe and knows your name. Who understands your heart, your problems, your victories, your defeats, your joys, everything about you. This great God who has created this huge magnitude of things that we can't even comprehend, yet is so loving that he knows you by name. We find that we can only be amazed at the small portion of God that we do understand or even comprehend. You know, even our language limits us in the ability to describe such a God. Really, the best we really can do is to quote the verse, tell them that I am, that I am. God and all of his creation created man as the pinnacle of all that he created, as I told you. Just think about that for a moment. Man, he created his own image. We read in scripture that he gave each one of us the breath of life. Think about that for a moment. The God of all the universe made us and gave us dominion over every living thing. And it was good. And yet man sinned against God. And God pronounced judgment. But even in his judgment, he demonstrated his amazing grace by coming to earth as himself expressed as his son. And then mankind was introduced to the Word that we find in John, the first chapter. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And in his 3-year earthly life, he taught the true nature of God the Father and provided an example of the living, abundant life for us to have. And yet, this Jesus demonstrated for us once again his great love for us as the Son of God by experiencing every temptation known to man. And then without spot or blemish, he essence of purity. This Jesus obediently allowed the evil of this world to overtake him, to accuse him, and drag him through trial after trial, even though he was innocent. They convicted him. And they tortured him. And finally they fought in complete victory, hung him on a cross. That God, the Son, took upon him our sin, my sin, your sin, without displaying any show of force. And while most thought he was beaten, ridiculed, and truly defeated, even those who followed him, that God the Son showed us his power. And he defeated death itself by rising from the grave and appearing to many, producing the evidence that was needed by a weak and devoted following group to embrace God's will for their lives. And then God the Son left man a great gift, God the Holy Spirit, to do greater works on this earth than even God the Son. If you just think a moment about this Jesus, which we preach and teach about so often, for those of us who come here and confess our faith in him and accepted him as our personal Savior, and realize day after day as we pray, thank you for taking upon your shoulders my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for the debt you paid for me. We accept his love. We accept his forgiveness. We accept his presence. But somehow we have difficulty in accepting his power that he gave us through God the Holy Spirit, whom he left with us to do even greater works than he has done. We find that our past, our present, and our future at the same time, the evidence of each has created for every believer a multidimensional God who is everywhere at the same time, working in everything at the same time, and aware of all that is at the same time. For you see, God is incomprehensible, and man is limited in being able to explain or comprehend this triune God. And even though we wrestle with many characteristics of God and the many acts of God in comparison to God, we are like parakeets in a cage trying to understand the man. You see, God is so great, there's no way that we can totally comprehend him. There is no way that we totally understand him. There is no way that we can grasp all that he is and all that he continues to be and will ever be. We are merely like parakeets in a cage in this life, only understanding that there is something that comes to feed us, that takes care of us, that gives us water, that manages every area of our lives. Our knowledge is limited. And yet in that limited knowledge, he pierces through all of it to demonstrate his love to us through Jesus Christ. And to plant in us a desire to live for him and to know him and to share him with others. I will tell you, even though we may be like parakeets in a cage, we also know that he's touched our lives and this great expanse that we understand that God has created. And this sinful heart that we know that we had when we came to Jesus. We know that we can have that abundant life and that eternal life through the power of his Holy Spirit as he lifts us and helps us and empowers us to be all that God wants us to be. So when you really stop and really consider all that he is and all that he's done, man can only fall to the ground and receive in humility all that he's done for us and is doing for us and will continue to do. This is amazing. It is truly amazing. The Word of God tells us that we are nothing without him. And this word nothing means non-existent, not even created.
And it tells us that we can do all things, for he has made us, each of us, to accept his Son, his dear children. This trying job calls us to rise up in his confidence and fulfill his will in our lives, in his church, and to do all that we can do in his power through the God, the Holy Spirit, to build up his kingdom on this earth, sharing the light of God's love with everyone so that they might know him. The doctrine of the Trinity is important because our knowledge of who God really is, your knowledge of who God really is, will give you hope when you have no hope, will heal you from all your infirmities, will release you from your pain, will provide for your every need, will inspire you with the joy of life, will give you peace when all around you is in turmoil, will give you true friendship when you think all is gone, will raise you up even though you feel paralyzed by your circumstances and your choices. This triune God wants to raise you up, wants to give you meaning and purpose and direction, wants you to understand the power of his Holy Spirit that we might all be workers in the kingdom. This is Memorial Day. I want to share a real life story for you today, who is a great hero of all time. You see, the Vietnam War is ancient history to most of us today. It ended for America in 1973 when the prisoners of war came home. Out of the POWs was an A6 bomber navigator, Robert J. Flynn, who was shot down over North Vietnam on August 21, 1967. He marched into China, where he was held in solitary confinement 5.5 years, 2,032 days. In a prison in Beijing, he was released in Hong Kong and walked across the bridge in the British colony under his own steam on March 15, 1973. Robert Flynn died Thursday, May 15, 2014, in Pensacola, Florida, at the age of 76. It is doubtful if any American survivor of that war paid as heavy a price as did Bob Flynn. You see, on August 21, 1967, it was a bad day for the Commander Flynn A6 intruder squadron, the A196. The main battery launched 4 bombers on a daylight strike into the heart of the North Vietnam. The lead intruder, flown by the skipper, was hit and exploded in the dive on the target. The other 3 planes managed to drop their bombs, but on egress, moved north of Haiphong into heavy buildup. 1 plane broke away from the formation and proceeded out to sea alone. The 2 remaining were attacked by MiGs, and both were shot down. 6 airmen were shot down, and only Bob Flynn survived that day. He was quickly captured and marched for days to the jungle into China. Once there, the Chinese communists claimed that the 2 A6 shot down by MiG were over Chinese airspace, a claim that Bob Flynn denied all of his life. We find that he was kept in solitary confinement for 5.5 years. The Chinese never broke it, but the physical and psychological price that Flynn paid was higher than any human should have ever had to endure. Any lesser man, they tell us, would have died or lost his grip on sanity. In fact, there was another prisoner of war, retired Captain Alan Brady, who spent 6 years in the prisoner of war in North Vietnam. He said, despite what he and his fellow captives went through, at least they had each other to lean on and to count on. Not so with Bob Flynn, who spent year upon year alone. I think what he did, the captain said, was tougher than what we had to endure. We had communication. We'd get new prisoners to get news from them. We were not alone. It was terribly hard. We knew this was going to end, and we knew we were going home, but there was some kind of treaty. On the other hand, in China, he had no promise of that. There's not going to be any treaty. So I give him high marks on how he treated or he handled himself. After Bob Flynn was released,
handing off requests on several Friday afternoons at the all office meeting, boxing, coding, and trying to kill the staff and students. What has it been like in solitary confinement in China for 5.5 years? What is it like to be handcuffed up to 60 days at a time and have to eat off a plate like a dog? What is it like to have to live in your own filth because there is no bathroom? What is it like to be without hope and tortured beyond any ability to resist, and yet he never gave up? And these sessions were telling these young pilots about his captivity brought tears to their eyes. Bob Flynn was quoted saying, "They told me that I was one of the most reactionary prisoners in their history." He said, "And yes, that makes me proud. I was the worst case they'd ever had. But I was smart enough to know that I didn't do it by myself." Bob Flynn says, "I am God to help. I figured out what I had to do my job." He said, "I had to remember God, duty, honor, country, family, self. And without God, there's nothing. Okay, without God, I couldn't do my duty. And if I couldn't do my duty, there was no honor. If there was no honor, I couldn't face my country. And if I couldn't face my country, then I'm no good to my family or myself. So all I worry about is the triune God. And the rest fell into place." Years later, in 2008, Bob Flynn told the Pensacola News Journal, "It was his faith that kept him sane and courageous in dire, painful, and lonely circumstances." This is the testimony of the life and imprisonment that I cannot imagine. There's circumstances, whether you didn't know minute by minute if you were going to be killed, or an arm would be broken, or you'd beat severely again, or when you lose your mind. The circumstances were so dire that there was very little hope. And yet at this low point in this man's life, somehow the Holy Spirit revealed to him the very power and nature of God, who was the only reason he made it by his own testimony. And I will tell you, change the things in your life. To change the things that may be going wrong in your life. The mistakes, the defeat, and those things which keep you from being all that you can be. The answer is a greater understanding of who God is. You must stop and consider all that He is and all that He has done and all that He is doing, and by faith believe all that He will do in your life if you'll just kneel before Him. The power of His Spirit will fill you with knowledge of God, who is capable of creating a universe that is beyond our imagination. And it's only through His Spirit that we can rise above human understanding. It's only through His Spirit that we can rise above human understanding and know He is all that He has claimed to be and will do all that He has claimed to do. I pray now and today and every day of your future that you would understand that He is the I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is God. He is Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit, one in three, so that we might be free for all eternity. I pray that once you believe Him, claim Him, allow Him to take control of every area of your life, your fears, your doubts, your weaknesses, your failures. Confess your sins to Him and claim the victory that He has for you today. I pray that you give it up. Give it all up and stand on the promise of a mighty triune God. You can do it. If Bob Flynn could do it in a prisoner of war camp being tied down and hogtied and handcuffed most of those years, you can do it to the power of His Spirit just like He did. Jesus, the Son of God, is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for you today. Claim it. Count on it. Live it for all eternity. And with this understanding, even
though way short of really understanding who all God is. It will provide all you need to glorify your Father in heaven. Come to God. Come to the triune God. Trust Him with everything. Cast every care, every burden, every area of your life on Him, and in faith, allow the Holy Spirit to do for you what He did for those first century Christians. And may you, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, be the church of the Baptist Church, what He did for those churches of the first century. That is your choice. You must choose. You must choose to understand that in a greater way. You must choose to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must make a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to do things you never thought you could do. You must trust the Holy Spirit to give you what you need to do way beyond what anyone thought you could do or you thought you could do. I would tell you in closing today, that I would suspect many of us out here would do well reading the book by J.D. Phillips titled Your God is Too Small. And our challenge is to allow Him to be huge, multi-dimensional, all powerful, all knowing, all come this morning. Joining our church by statement of faith, by transfer of letter, by anyone. Would you come professing it as your Savior, rededicating your life, recommitting it to the triune God? Whatever your need is, you come this morning, Lord, pray. As we stand and sing him number 412, the Savior is waiting. We begin when you come.